Let's get to work. Thank you very much for joining us to learn again. Tonight is the art site of Rav Chaim Meyer from Vizhnitz, the holy tzaddik, the Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz. And the Vizhnitz Rebbe, when he settled in Eretz Yisrael, the Vizhnitz Rebbe used to often say that he loved the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. He felt that the Jews of Eretz Yisrael really understood what it meant to be Jewish. And they asked him, they would ask the Vizhnitz Rebbe, Rebbe, what is it about the Jews of Eretz Yisrael that you love so much? And I tell this little vart, this little story all the time on Pesach, but tonight, since it's his yard site, it's especially fitting. Rav Chaim Meyer of Vizhnitz said, you know, you walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael, and Jews always say there, Hakol Beseder. That's the Nick phrase. I know you've heard it a million times, Daniel, I apologize. Hakol Beseder, Hakol Beseder. And he said, they're so right, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael are so right, Hakol Beseder, everything that happens in our life depends on the Seder. I think we can agree that we're all preparing ourselves for probably the most important night of the calendar year, Hakol Beseder. And this is probably the most unusual Seder that many of us have ever experienced. I think it's safe to say such a thing. Maybe the most unusual Seder since the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. And I don't think any of us know exactly what to expect. What we do know is that the Gemara tells us, Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Isidin Ligal. What we do know is the Gemara says that we left Mitzrayim in Nisan, and the final Geula is going to come in the month of Nisan. We know the Medrash Tanchuma ups the ante, and the Medrash Tanchuma says, Bites Vav Benisan Nigalu Mitzrayim. That we left the original Gullus of Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, and we'll leave this final Gullus as well on the 15th of Nisan. We know that this night is described in Shmos Perek Yud Beis as a Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, and the end of that same Pasuk says it's Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael. And as the Svarno explains, Kumo Shahaya Mishamer Mitzape L'gulas Yisrael Kol Yamei Galusim B'Mitzrayim. Just as Hashem was sitting and waiting, counting down the days until He would be able to take us out of Mitzrayim, so too, it's a Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, so too, Kein Hu, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzapa L'Geulas Yisrael HaAsida. Hashem is waiting, Hashem is counting, Hashem is paying attention to the final redemption. So again, we don't know exactly what any of this really means and how exactly it's going to play itself out, but we have a feeling this Pesach is going to be different. We have a feeling that it's going to be special. And it may be difficult in certain ways. I think we're already feeling how it's difficult. I don't have to explain that to anyone as well. The separation that we feel from each other, the loneliness, the rising death toll, the increased anxiety. But on a certain level, I feel that for some of us, maybe for all of us, it'll be the easiest Pesach in history. Because part of our job on Pesach, as the Mishnah and Psachim describes, and the Haggadah cites with a little bit of an elaboration, is that b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotzei mi'Mitzrayim. The avoda of a Jew on Pesach is to try to feel in the most sincere and real and authentic way that I am a slave in Egypt and I'm preparing to leave Mitzrayim. As most of us are hopefully being safe and responsible and staying in our homes these days, there's not a Pesach program in the world this year, and there's nowhere to go this year for Pesach. Liros es atzma. We've become those Jews who are gathered in their home, waiting for that night, that makas b'choros, hiding in our homes, waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hopefully retrieve us from our homes and bring us to a much safer and better place. In what has become an eerie couple of psukim, if you think about it in the context of what we're living in right now, the Torah tells us in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Va'atem lo teitzu ish mi pesach beiso ad boker. We're going to paint our doorways, and we're going to remain in our homes, not stepping foot outside of our home. And Rashi says, Magid Shemeachar Shenitna Rishus Lahamashchis Lechabel, when the destroyer has been given permission to destroy, when a virus has been given permission, as it were, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself to take over the world, Eino Mavchin Bein Tzadik L'Rasha. Sometimes the virus can't distinguish between a good person and a not good person. There will be tzaddikim who lose their lives. Rachmana litzlan, it's happened already. These are very frightening and real psukim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Pasuk Chaf Gimel is going to come on that night, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to identify a Jewish home from a Mitzri home. And then Pasuk Chav Dalet, Ushmartim es hadavar hazeh l'chok l'chol levanecha ad olam. And you should guard this matter. You should take this matter very seriously for you and your children forever. What does that mean, to take this seriously forever? What does it mean to think about this forever? Do we actually paint our doorposts with blood? Is that something that we're being commanded by the Torah to do forever? The Ibn Ezra writes, if I were reading the Chumash without any clarity from Chazal, I would think that's actually what it does mean, that yes, every Pesach we should paint our doorposts. But the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra go on to explain that it can't be talking about painting our doorposts. That's not a mitzvah. That was something we did only in Mitzrayim. But rather, it's talking about the mitzvah of Pesach generally. That the mitzvah of Pesach, the concept of a carbon Pesach, was true then and it continues to be true in all generations, but we don't have a carbon Pesach. But you know which part of the pasuk resonates with us this year? That a Jew should sit in their home, and atem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beso. And that, says the pasuk, is something that we're going to transmit to future generations, ad olam. As Rashi writes in Sefer Yeshayah in Perek Lamed Beis, ad olam means ad es ketz. That means until Mashiach comes, there may be a time where we have to relive this experience of sitting in our homes, waiting, b'chol dor v'dor, chayiv adam liros as atzma, waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us out of Mitzrayim. I go back to the pasuk of Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim hu laHashem, and it's a Leil Shimurim for Chol B'nai Yisrael. Says the Baal HaTurim, that phrase Shimurim appears only twice in all of Tanakh, and it's in this one pasuk. Shimurim, Leil Shimurim LaHashem, Shimurim L'chol B'nai Yisrael. What are these two expressions of Shimurim? Explains the Baal HaTurim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the night of Tesvav into two. Half of it was used for Geulas Mitzrayim, and the second half, says the Baal HaTurim, the Shimurim L'chol B'nai Yisrael is for the Geula La'asid Lavo. My friends, we're waiting for a very, very special Pesach. And for the couple of minutes that we have, we only have till 9 o'clock tonight, or maybe a minute or two after, because Rabbi Neuberger is giving his Shabbos HaGadol, or I guess his pre-Shabbos HaGadol drasha, at 9:05. So I promised I would finish on time, and I want to be able to attend that shir as well. But I want to just talk about one line in the Haggadah. One line in the Haggadah that I want to ask us to try to interpret, to try to make sense of. It's a line that's difficult to understand. We begin the Halach Ma'anya. We begin the Maggid section of the Haggadah. Holach ma'anya di'achalu avasana ba'arad Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in Mitzrayim. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. Anyone who's hungry, come and eat. The Torah tells us that when Hashem took Yaakov down to Mitzrayim, Hashem promised Yaakov, I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim with you. I'm going to come back from Mitzrayim with you as well. So I guess that means that not only are we celebrating coming out of Mitzrayim, Hashem himself is celebrating coming out of Mitzrayim. And I guess that means that if HaKadosh Baruch was asking us to recite as part of our Haggadah, Kol dichvin yesev yechol, anyone who's hungry, please come and eat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is inviting us in the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making us that same offer. Hashem is saying, if you're hungry, come and join me. I'm happy to offer you something to eat. So the question I want to think about for the next 20 minutes is, what are we hungry for this Pesach? What are we hungering for this Pesach? What are we starving for this Pesach? In Shir HaShirim, in the second parak, the pasuk says, Samchuni ba'ashishos, rafduni ba'tapuchim, kicholas ahava ani. Kicholas ahava ani. How would you translate the words kicholas ahava ani? The Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva in the 10th parak, that cholas ahava means that a person is lovesick, so wildly in love, so obsessed, that they can't stop thinking about their lover. And that's the relationship that we long to have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Cholas ahava, I'm sickly in love with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Rambam interprets these Pesukim in Shir HaShirim, and I think that's the Pashup Shad, how many understand it. But the Nitziv, in his Rina Shel Torah on Shir HaShirim, has a different pshat. And it's a painful pshat. The Nitziv says, Cholas Ahava is not just a person who so much understands the sugya of love that they can't stop for a second feeling that intensity of that love, that longing, that desire to be close to Hashem. But the Nitziv says, sometimes Cholas Ahava means that I'm so sick, I'm so disoriented, I'm so lost that I don't even know what it means to love anymore. Hinei Chola Alzeh, writes the Nitziv, I'm so sick V'nitzrach ani l'siyuva ve'ezer. Hashem, you have to teach me how to love again because I've lost my way. I don't know how to be in love with you at a time like this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens his door, so to speak, at the beginning of the Seder, and Hashem says, Kol dichvin yesi v'yechol. Come, if you're hungry, if you're looking for something, come, tell me what it is. And we say, Ribono Sholem, Cholas avani. I don't even know what I'm looking for sometimes. What are we hungry for this Pesach? The four sons, the Dalet Banim, who are, of course, a central part of the Magid, the Divrei Yisrael, the Majitzer Rebbe, who passed away in 1920, the first Majitzer Rebbe, Rebbe Yisrael of Majitz. It's printed in the Isha Yisrael, the Haggadah Shel Pesach, from the Tzaddikim of Majitz. He says that the four sons correspond to the four exiles, which means the Chacham, the Tam, the She'eni Odeh Elishol, correspond to the four experiences of Egwish history. And we are currently sitting at the very, very end, Mirtz Hashem, of the four final Gullis, the Gullis of Edom, which means that the fourth and final Gullis corresponds to this child who's She'eni Odeh Elishol, who simply doesn't know how to ask. Writes the Majid Rebbe V'yesh Lomar, Sheim Keneged Ha'arlios, V'asha'eino Yodea Lishol Hu Ha'achron. We are the She'eino Yodea Lishol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tell me, what can I do for you? Dichfin, kol ditzrich, whatever it is that you need, Yesei V'yifsach, kol dichfin Yesei. If you're hungry, tell me, what can I offer you? What can I give you? And we sit there dumbfounded, Rabbona Sha'olam, Ein Yodea Lishol. I don't even know what to say anymore, Hashem. I'm out of words. This is the final gullis. Sha'anachnu v'v'chinas she'eino yedei elisha. We don't even know what to ask for. Thank you, Hashem, for offering, but we don't even know what we need anymore. And therefore, like we say to the she'eino yedei elisha in the Haggadah, at pesachlo. We have to give the words into his mouth. We have to teach him what to say because he doesn't know what to say. Some explain it's not that we're a generation that typically doesn't know what to say. You know, sometimes we think of the She'eni Odeh Elishol as this uneducated kid. Some explain the She'eni Odeh Elishol could be a person who's very well educated. In fact, they're so well educated that they think they have the answers to everything under normal circumstances. And then the world goes crazy in the last month. And the biggest doctors and professors and world leaders, everyone who's honest and humble doesn't know what to say. She'eni Odeh Elishol. We pashut don't know what to say anymore. We've forgotten how to speak to Hashem. So Hashem says to us, come, halach ma'anyot, kol dich v'nyesei v'yechol. What is it that you need? And we sit there in our confusion at the end of the fourth and final gullis, like the She'eni Odeh Elishol, and we don't even know what we're hungry for. We don't even know what to ask for. I remembered earlier today, there's a Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a folk saying, Hainu da'amri inchi. The Gemara uses the expression, kofin aniya v'lo yada. Sometimes the poor man is so hungry that he doesn't even know it. He's so past starvation that he doesn't even feel his own hunger anymore. He's lost, he's so disoriented that he's so hungry that he doesn't even realize it. Kofin aniya, right? Kol dichvin. Kofin aniya v'lo yada. You can become so hungry that you don't even know what you want anymore. You don't even know what you're hungry for. You haven't eaten in so long. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, what are you hungry for this Pesach? Kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. What would you like to eat this Pesach? So I want to quote from a book that my mother just sent me in the mail. It's an excellent book. I highly recommend it. It's called The Choice, Embrace the Possible, by Dr. Edith Eva Eger. And she's an amazing woman. She's an unbelievable woman. You'll check her out online. If you've never heard of her, she's an amazing woman. She's a native of Hungary. She's 92 years old now. She survived Auschwitz as a young girl. I mean, her story is unbelievable. In 1945, she was lying in a pile of dead bodies, and an American soldier saw her hand twitch, and he quickly called for medical assistance and was able to revive her. She came to America in 1949, lives currently in California, built a magnificent career for herself helping people as a psychologist. And she wrote this book, which is a memoir. And she writes on page 7 of her amazing memoir, if you asked me the most common diagnosis amongst people I treat, I wouldn't say depression or post-traumatic stress disorder, although these conditions are all too common among those I've known, loved, and guided to freedom. No, I would say hunger. The thing that people are suffering, the most common diagnosis amongst people I treat, is hunger. We are hungry. We're hungry for approval. We're hungry for attention. We're hungry for affection. We're hungry for the freedom to embrace life and to really know and be ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Kol dichvin yesei v'yecho, what are you hungry for this year? And maybe this year we could finally get the courage to tell Hashem, to look deep inside of ourselves and tell Hashem, you know what? I think we finally figured it out. I think we finally know what we're hungry for. In the days leading up to Pesach, we try to arouse our appetite. It's the halachos that govern. Open up a Shulchan Aruch, read Hilchos Pesach. Simin Tov Ayin. On Erev Pesach, a person who's an istinus, a person who's a delicate person who doesn't have a large appetite, Misana be'erev Pesach should fast on Erev Pesach kedei sheyochol matzah l'te'avon, so that you can come to the meal to eat the matzah with great appetite. Simin Tov Ayin. Simin Tov Ayin Aleph. Sif Aleph. Oser lechol pas misha asiris ulamala on Erev Pesach from the 10th hour and on, you're not allowed to eat any bread-like products. Obviously, you can't eat regular matzah for other reasons. But even an egg matzah, according to those who would hold that it's kosher l'Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it. Kedei sheyochol matzah l'te'avon. Because when you come to the Seder, you have to be hungry. Says the Ramah in Sif Beis. Some people don't eat maror on Erev Pesach, to eat the maror l'te'avon. Some are machmir and not to eat fruit on Erev Pesach, to eat the charoses l'te'avon. Which, of course, the Ramah says, Ein l'chush l'minag ahu, that's not a real minhag. We don't eat too much matzah on the first day of Pesach because we need to have a second Seder for those of us who are still in Chutz La'aretz. But my friends, that's not what we're hungry for in Pesach. Those halachos are just the superficial understanding of the hunger we're supposed to bring to the Pesach Seder. The ultimate hunger that we bring to the Pesach Seder is found in the words of the Navi Amos. And it's a pasuk we know very well. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem Elokim. Days are coming, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yishlachti ra'av ba'aretz, and I'm going to send a hunger to the world. Lo ra'av l'lechem v'lo tzama l'mayim. There's going to be a period where people are mamish starving. And what are we starving for? We're not starving for bread, although Rachman al-Litzlan, some people are. And we're not thirsty for water, although some people are. But Hashem says to Klai Yisrael, that's not what you're hungry for. It's not bread, it's not water, it's not matzah, it's not mar, it's not charoses. It's none of those things. It's what Dr. Edie Eger is describing here in her book. We're starving kim lishmoa es divrei Hashem. We're starving to hear your voice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're starving again, like she writes over here. We're hungry for approval. We're hungry for attention. We're hungry for affection. We're hungry for the freedom to embrace the life that Hashem, we thought you wanted us to live. We're starving for that relationship that supposedly we're supposed to have. And at times like this, we're trying to figure out, what is that relationship supposed to look like? My Rebbe, many of our Rebbeim, someone who's a Rebbe to many of us, Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita, likes to quote from the Talmud of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe David Vali. I have his sefer in front of me. The sefer is called Kisvei Ramdu, the Ksavim of Rav Moshe David Vali on Treyasar. He has it in a few places in his writings. But on this Pasuk in Amos, he writes very, very powerful words. What does it mean we're starving for the Dvar Hashem? Hine kvar yadua shahayamim shel ha-ra'av he-mamish yimei ha-galus va-sisum. This is a reference to the days of Galus, specifically the conclusion of Galus, those final moments before Mashiach comes. Sha'az ha-ra shel ha-klipa, the negativity of the world, the confusion of the world, v'hagas hagas shaba, and just the numbness that we feel, who ha-sholeit u-mevi asarav, is going to bring a hunger like nothing we've ever felt before. That there's going to be this starvation that we feel. And what is this starvation? Lo ra'av l'lechem v'lo tzama l'mayim. He says we're not even starving for the ruchnias that we think maybe sometimes we're starving for. He says at the end of the galus, bizman ha-galus v'asisum, at the end of the galus, ein shum ra'av v'tzama, we're not going to be thirsty for the waters and the bread of Torah. We know that Torah is called mayim. We know that Torah is called bread. So you might think, you know, maybe we're starving because we're so obsessed with entertainment, and we're so obsessed with physical pleasure, and we're so obsessed with taivas olam haza, tanuge olam haza, that we've lost sight of what's important. But it's not true. He says it's not true, and in fact he writes so clearly here, ki adrabba, lo nischabru svarim kol kach aruchem v'ram k'mo bizman ha-galus. At the end of days, we're going to be publishing books like in crazy numbers. There's an endless amount of Torah literature to learn. Someone said to me earlier today, I'm trying to like, you know, I'm trying to keep up with Klal Yisrael and the number of shirim on the internet. And it's like impossible. Like I can't choose anymore. Like this one is speaking and that one is speaking and this year is happening and this Tehillim rally and this. There's plenty of ruchnius going on. And yet there's still this feeling that we're starving. Because the thing that we're starving for, says the Navi, is the Shmoa as Divrei Hashem. And the way that the Ramdu, Rav Moshe David Vali, explains is that the truth is a lot of our Torah, unfortunately, is also superficial. And it's lacking a certain Dvar Hashem. But I want to say even more Pashat tonight. What we're starving for is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to hear your voice, Kepshuto. Pashat Pshat, Hashem, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear the Shofar of Mashiach. We haven't heard your voice in a really long time. We haven't heard it with our ears. We haven't heard it through the Nevi'im. Yes, the Bas Kol cries out. Chazal say a Bas Kol cries out every day. And the Baal Shem Tov says, we all hear it in our hearts, but we're tired of hearing it in our hearts. We don't want to hear it in our hearts. We don't want to pick up on the reverberations in our mind. We want to hear it with our ears. The way that when we stood at Har Sinai, we heard your voice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're starving to hear your voice. Rav Shmelk of Nicholsburg gives a mashal. He writes in the Divrei Shmuel in Parshas Bechukosai. He said, imagine a father and son who are traveling on a long journey, a very, very long journey. And the father says to his son, my son, be careful. As we're walking along the road, you're a big boy now. I trust you to walk a little bit ahead on your own, but be careful. I know that alongside the road, there's delicious cherry trees. And be careful you don't get too busy plucking cherries off the tree, that you wander off too far off the road. And he said, the way to know if you've wandered off too far is if you can no longer hear my voice. As long as you can still hear me calling to you, my son, do you hear my voice? As long as you can say, yes, Tati, Daddy, Abba, I still hear you, then it's a sign that you haven't strayed too far. But if, God forbid, you for a second, you stop hearing my voice, you have to understand you're in terrible danger. The Rebbe of Shmelk of Nicholsburg said, this is the experience of Gullus. After 2,000 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know. We're like that kid who's, we don't hear your voice anymore. I'm sorry, Hashem, we don't hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us at the Seder, as we say to those who need, Kol dichvin yeseh v'yecho, what are you hungry for? Let's remember what the Netziv said. There's a reality of cholas ahava ani, that we become so sick, that we become so disoriented by galus, that we become so filled with anxiety from coronavirus, that we become so unsure of what the master plan is here after 2,000 years of silence and suffering, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't hear your voice. Cholas ahava ani, we're so sick. We're so sick that we don't know how to love anymore. We've become the She'ini Yodei Lishol, that when Hashem, you make us an offer of a lifetime, whoever's hungry, come and eat. Whatever you need, come to Pesach. We don't even know what to ask for anymore. When the Chafetz Chaim was very old, he had a young student who used to attend to him. At one time, there was a terrible thunderstorm. And the student peeked in on the Chafetz Chaim. He peeked into his bedroom. And he saw the Chafetz Chaim sitting like this, clutching his beard, sitting by the window, looking out at the storm. And the Chafetz Chaim was crying. And the Chafetz Chaim was sitting there by the window, crying his eyes out, listening to the thunderstorm, and he kept saying, Nu, was wilt der Tate? Nu, Tati, what do you want? What the heck do you want from me? He's sitting there looking at the thunderstorm, and he's just sitting there, the Chafetz Chaim is sitting there, Nu, was wilt der Tate? What do you want? What do you want? Like, what do you want? What do you want? How many more times can we go through Tehillim? What do you want? How many more times do we need to have a Siyam HaShas? What do you want? Hashem, what do you want from us? Ribbono Shalom, what do you want from us? And the students asked the Chafetz Chaim the next day, they said, Rebbe, we peeked in on you to make sure you were okay, that you were sleeping okay during the thunderstorm. We saw you weren't sleeping at all. You were sitting by the window and you kept saying, Ribbono Shalom, Ribbono Shalom, was vilt der Tate? What does the Tate want? And they said, what were you asking? What were you doing? And the Chafetz Chaim said, Chazal tell us that when there's a storm, that when we hear the sound of thunder, the sound of thunder is supposed to shake us from our complacency. Thunder is supposed to wake a person up. It's supposed to, in the words of Chazal, Gemara and Brachos, it's supposed to straighten out the crookedness of our heart. So the Chafetz Chaim said, when I heard that thunderstorm, I listened to it in a very personal way. And I said, Hashem, I know you're talking to me. You're talking to me, Yisrael Meir. What do you want from me? Was vilt der Tate? What are you saying is crooked about me? I'm trying my best, Rebbeinu Shlomo. What more do you want me to do? The Chafetz Chaim took it as a personal Musar Shmos. Every one of us is taking this coronavirus in our own way. We're all trying to grapple with it in our own way. and it's affecting each of us in our own way. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you make us that offer this Pesach, let's not be the She'eni Yodei Lishol, and let's not be so Cholas Ava to love Hashem anymore, because so many are starving, and we're not starving because we don't have Torah. We have a lot of Torah, Baruch Hashem. We have Mayim, Ein Mayim El Torah. We have Lechem. We have Svarim in abundance. But Hashem, it's been so long since we've actually heard your voice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the words again of Dr. Edith Egger, we're starving, we're hungry for approval, we're hungry for your attention. Hashem, we just need you to peek out from behind the curtain one more time like you did at Har Sinai and just let us know that you're there. Let us know that you're listening. I want to end with a story that I heard many years ago from my good friend Ari Yablok, my former bandmate. He told me a story that he heard from Judge Dan Butler, Judge Daniel Butler. And it's a story that Judge Butler told about his own father, Abraham Butler, who was a soldier in the American Army during World War II. He said that when they came to liberate Jews from the camps, he was standing there as an American soldier just trying to figure out, what can I do for these people? I mean, you were looking at these Jews who were broken in every sense of the word. And he's just trying to figure out, like, what can I do? And he saw there was this long line of people waiting for something to eat. Everyone was waiting to get a little bit of soup, standing on line. And he's standing there, this healthy, young American soldier, Jewish soldier, wondering, what can I do? What can I offer these people? They've lost everything. He saw them standing on line, waiting for that bowl of soup. And he looks over and he sees this one little boy who mamish looks more dead than alive. And he's just thinking to himself, you know, he's starving. This child is starving. But what can I do for him? He's waiting online like the rest of everyone else, waiting to get a little bowl of watery soup. What can I do for this kid? And he goes over to the kid and he taps him on the shoulder without saying a word. He picks up the child and takes him in his arms and he just gives him this big hug. And he holds the child and the child's weeping on his shoulders. And he puts the boy down and he sees a bunch of other people. They look up from the line. They're standing online waiting for soup. Starving souls who haven't eaten in so long. And one by one, people start to come off the line. People start to come off the line and they start to say, can I also have a hug? And one by one, the soup line all of a sudden turns into a line of people waiting just to receive a warm embrace, just to receive a hug, just to receive a little bit of affection, to be able to hear the voice of someone who says, I love you, I care about you. That's what they were starving for, much, much more than the food and the nourishment that they so badly needed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to try to... I'm speaking here to 213 people. I'm offering a tefillah, a collective tefillah on behalf of all the people who are here and on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to answer the question this year. You're going to come to us by the Seder and we're going to do our part. We're going to do our part. We're going to recite the Haggadah. We're going to learn the Haggadah. We're going to daven the Haggadah. And we're going to offer to those who we can help, kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yefsach, whoever I can help, however I can help, we're here to do it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know you're reading the Haggadah also. And we know that you're offering us kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol. Hashem says, what do you want to eat? And the truth is, maybe more than ever, we feel, I don't even know what I need. But maybe we do know the answer. Maybe the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're starving just to hear your voice. We just want to hear your voice. We just need a little bit of that affection. We just need a hug. We just need to hear you. Not in our hearts, we just want to hear you just blow the shofar once. If you would just blow the shofar one time, it would answer all the questions, it would remove all of the pain, it would remove all of the sorrow. Or as one of the tzaddikim said, and with this I conclude, as one of the tzaddikim said, we can daven Nusach Sfarad and we can scream out in Kaddish. We could say a million and one times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could daven, we can ask. We could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the geula. We could say it a million times, but Hashem, if you would say it just one time, then this whole thing would be over. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to hear your voice this Pesach. Allow us to feel your embrace this Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't leave us as starving soldiers, as starving prisoners, standing on a line looking for a bowl of soup. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just give us that hug that we so badly need to feel. And allow us to feel your embrace as we usher in the Gula Shlema. B'mehera b'yameinu amen. Wishing everyone a chag kasher v'sameach. Thank you very, very much.
You too, Rabbi. Thank you.